Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it's Tuesday, which means it's time for All Over the Space. It's a weekly podcast with myself and Mike Murray from the Delta College Planetarium. If you want to listen to past episodes, you can always head over to our website at wwjnewsradio.com. In the meantime, though, we need to welcome Mike into the show. Good evening. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm great. Thank you. How about yourself?
I am very happy to be speaking to you because there are so many exciting things, as usual, happening. But right now, it's one of the best times to look at one of my favorite things in the sky, Mike.
You know, one of the favorite constellations of any season, but especially in the winter, because that's prime time for this, it's Orion, the Hunter. And I think a lot of people actually are familiar with it because what do you look for?
The belt.
Three stars in a line. In the belt. Exactly. Well, see, the reason it's a winter constellation and especially great for February is if you look about halfway up the southern sky, 2 hours after sunset, you'll see Orion's belt. The stars are pretty bright. And the nice thing is that even if you've got a fair amount of light pollution, it's still pretty easy to see. And then you've got the two bright stars for the shoulders above, the two bright stars underneath for knees. Makes a nice big hourglass shape.
Now, something cool about the Orion the Hunter is the Great Nebula. And you were telling me something about this, and I still to this day have to really dive into the nebula. But you can actually, you can view it. It's primetime viewing for that as well.
Exactly. And what makes the nebula so great to see is, first, it's one of the only star-forming regions you can see with the naked eye under clear, dark skies, of course, but it's also right underneath the belt. So if you found the belt, look for three more stars in a short line underneath the belt running vertically, and if it's dark out, no moon, which is another reason it's good to be looking now, the moon is moving into the morning sky, you'll see that it's just a little bit fuzzy in the middle star on the sword, and you're actually looking at a cloud that's 24 light years across. I know it because it looks tiny, and it looks great in binoculars, but it's 1,300 light years away. So imagine if you could travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 24 years to get from one end of that cloud to the other.
That's absolutely amazing. If you're just joining me on WWJ this evening, Mike Murray from the Delta College Planetarium on the phone, as he does every Tuesday for All Over the Space. You know, we're talking about Orion, the Orion Nebula, but as far as the stars in the belt, which one is it? It's the one that we don't say his name three times. Isn't that the most distinctive star in all of the belt?
So you know what? It's above the belt in the upper shoulder. If you go up and left from the belt, the reddish star in the shoulder is called Betelgeuse. Now, that's an Arabic name, but a lot of people remember it by saying Betelgeuse. Remember, just don't say it three times. But Betelgeuse is an Arabic word. It goes way back, thousands of years, and it roughly translates into armpit of the mighty one. How about that?
Armpit of the mighty one. And we're not going to say it the third time,
yeah,
so don't go
will,
there.
How will man it?
So, you know, recently there was, I have to ask you about this because this is, to me, is just baffling. So the study comes out and it was suggesting that our inner core of the Earth, right, which rotates independently mm-hmm. from the Earth's surface, that it slowed down, or right? And I'm thinking about this film, and I want to say it came out, it had to be at least 25 years old, and it was about the core, and it depicted all of these crazy things happening because of the planet's core stopped spinning. So now there are all these people out there saying that our core of the Earth has stopped spinning, and what is going on with that, Mike?
You know, there were headlines after headlines coming out all over the country that said the Earth's core has stopped spinning and it might even start reversing its spin. Sorry, folks, wrong. It was misinterpreted from a scientific paper that was talking about how the rate of the core can spin at a slightly different speed than what you'd get in the mantle or in the crust up here on the surface. Well, what they're talking about is it could slightly slow down or change, but it doesn't stop. I mean, if the core were to stop, we'd all be dead. Okay, let's look at it that
way. I hate to laugh, but
more complicated.
Yeah. Well, if you do your research, you know, our core is what it's iron and it's basically as hot as the sun, but there is liquid in there. Is that what they're referring to? Is the liquid portion of our core?
So actually it's the solid part because the inner core is solid. It's under so much pressure that it gets solid, but the outer core is what's liquid. And because both of them have a lot of nickel and iron, that's what creates the Earth's magnetic field, because you get a little bit of, you know, difference in rotation, a little bit of friction. And, you know, what happens if you get metal on metal friction, even if it's liquid, it can create a dynamo effect. And when that's where our magnetic field comes from. And it's a good thing, too, because that magnetic field protects us from a lot of the most harmful radiation coming from outer space.
Well, I am certainly glad that we're not all going to die today from the core of the Earth, just saying.
Yeah, you know, science fiction, but, you know, and it's understandable. I'm not going to blame this all on the media because, unfortunately, when sometimes scientific papers come out, and if they're not interpreted correctly, or if they're, you know, sometimes their language is a little different, it's easy to misinterpret. So it's okay. We'll clean it up. We'll help out.
Right on. What do you have coming up at the planetarium before we head out to the roads with O'Neill Stevens?
We are so excited about the new Mesmerica music show that's featuring the music of James Hood. All of the shows in February have already sold out, but we just added a whole set of four more weeks in March. And then, speaking of March, that's the 50th anniversary of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon album. And we will have a special show to commemorate that.
Oh, my goodness. Now you're speaking my language right there. I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, I'll have all of the I'll have all of the info up on our website at wwjnewsradio.com. And, of course, if you'd like to find out more, just head on over to the Delta College Planetarium website for info as well. Mike, thank you so much for your time as usual. Do appreciate it.
Love it, man. Thanks.
Mike Murray from the Delta College Planetarium joining us every Tuesday for All Over the Space here at WWJ.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.